So anyway, let's pray and let's just open our heart to God's word. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of the Lord in this place to move and work in our hearts and lives. And Father, we just pray that tonight that we would be receptive to your word, and Father, that faith would rise in our hearts. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for those that are discouraged, Lord, for those that are struggling, those that are in a great battle, Lord, for those that are walking in pride. Oh, Father, each of us needs something tonight, and Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts and do what you desire in us. And Lord, we just say thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we all go through life's ups and downs, but spiritually, you know, we really ought to always be up. I'm not saying we are, but I'm saying we should be. How many of you ever seen the fight scene in a TV show or a movie where the good guy is down on the mat and his corner and maybe some of the crowd, they're all yelling, "Get up! Get up! Get up!" Why are they yelling, "Get up"? So he'll get pummeled some more. No, they're saying, "Get up," because they know if he'll get back up, he can still win. And so I want to say to you tonight, get up. Amen. Get up. You know, if you're really feeling down, sometimes the last thing you want is for somebody to be glibly saying, "Get up." But I'm telling you, we need to hear that word. The Bible says in Micah 7:8, "When I fall, I shall arise." I know that's not a new word to some of you. I know many of you, you've heard that for many years, that when you fall, you got to get back up. But I want you to know, all of us need to hear it sometimes. When you fall, you got to make up your mind that you're just going to get back up. Paul said that we have to fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes in the fight of faith, you get knocked down, but you just got to get back up. We all make mistakes. We all have slip-ups and goof-ups, and none of us has it all together. But listen, we all need God's grace. And you know, sometimes when you maybe mess up, you might feel like you're the only one that's ever messed up like you have. But I got to tell you, the truth is that we all make mistakes. Nobody is always successful. The key is we got to always get back up and try again. It's the old adage, winners never quit, quitters never win. And I tell you, it's amazing how many millionaires at one time in their life were bankrupt. You know, part of the reason that they got bankrupt was because they tried something. And they say that people that have never failed have never tried anything. And that's true because, listen, when you were a little kid at some point, you know, when you were a little bitty, at some point you tried to walk, and I'm going to tell you, you didn't get it the first time, just saying. All of us have failed, and we just have to remember that when you fail or when you fall, you just get back up. And I don't want to make it sound so glib, but it really does have to be that automatic to us, that when I fall, it's already a predetermined thing. I'm just going to get back up. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, you know, we feel guilt. We feel guilt because we do wrong, by the way. Guilt's not always a bad thing. But listen, we feel guilt, but even after we have repented or we ask the Lord for forgiveness, sometimes we feel like we got to pay. We got to do penance. You know, we got to wait a while. And I want to tell you something. God's forgiveness is free because it's already been paid for, and it's also immediate. You don't have to wait a certain period of time. And I'm just telling you, when you fall, you got to learn to just get right back up. You know, maybe some of you feel like you're failing right now in some area. Maybe some of you are living with the consequences of some past failure. Maybe Some are living with the fear of failing, and maybe failing in what we should be doing, or failing in doing something we shouldn't be doing. But here's the whole verse, Micah 7:8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. And when it says, when I fall, I will arise, a real literal translation of that is actually, when I have fallen, I have arisen. In other words, it's just automatic. When I have fallen, I have arisen. Every time. When I've fallen, I have arisen. You know, I've told this before, but it's like the 80-something-year-old man, and he said, I've never been down. And they said, what do you mean? How can you say I've never been down? He said, I was either up or getting up. And you know what? That ought to be the way it is for the Christian, that we're either up or we're getting up, but we don't stay down. It's already predetermined. When we fail, when we fall, we're going to get right back up. Have you ever fallen physically in public? I remember one time, I'm looking for some wood I can knock on, because before I start telling on other people, I remember one time my wife took a dive off the steps when she was coming down the steps, I remember one time my daughter was so busy worshiping the Lord while she was leading worship, she fell off the platform. And some of you didn't know because you were busy worshiping the Lord too. She did the right thing though. She got back up. And if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Lord, I don't want to fall off the platform. But anyway, you know, when you fall in public, how long are you supposed to wait before you get back up? Did you know it's actually relative? It's relative, first of all, to how old you are. Because believe me, it takes longer as you get older. But it's also in counter proportionate to how embarrassed you are. If you're real embarrassed, you get up real fast, right? Except sometimes when it comes to spiritually falling, it is the embarrassment and it is the shame that keeps people down. And I just want to thank God for His grace. We should never forget He doesn't want us to stay down. His grace takes care of our past so we can get up and go on with Him, but it's got to be predetermined. When I fall, I'm getting back up. I'm not going to allow the enemy to keep me down. Micah said, don't rejoice over me, my enemy. And you know, that is exactly what he tries to do, is to rejoice, gloat over when you make a mistake or when you fail at something. You know, things don't go the way you thought they should. Bad things happen. And the enemy wants to gloat. He wants to rejoice. Micah is not only saying, when I fall, I'm going to get right back up. He's letting the enemy know, you're not going to gloat over me. I'm not going to allow you to have any fun out of this. I'm going to get right back up and keep going. And we have to have that same attitude, that we're just not going to let Satan rejoice over us. Now, you know, he said, my enemy. You need to always remember you have an enemy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy, and he will try to gloat over you. Isn't it amazing? He will tempt you. He'll even give you the justification and the rationalization, the excuse to do wrong, or to not do what God told you to do. He'll say, everybody needs a break. You don't need to go to church on Sunday. Now, some of you think I'm just messing with you now, but anyway, I'm just telling you, he'll provide even the rationalization and help you get there so that you feel like, hey, I'm doing the right thing. And then as soon as you do, he turns it around. And the accuser of the brethren goes to work on you, telling you what a sorry dog you are. And you know what? He'll use that to keep you down. No, you got to learn not to let him rejoice over you, but to get right back up. You know, we can fall in lots of ways. And of course, you can fall into some sin, and it may be a habit, an addiction that you're trying to break and you fall into. You know, when somebody does that, we call it falling off the wagon, right? We'll get back on the wagon. Don't stay off. It's one of the most dangerous things that can happen is when somebody stumbles into an old sin, is that they fall back into that old habit and that old pattern. But I got to tell you, there's an answer for that. You made a mistake? Well, get back on. Just make up your mind that you're going to go on with God and not stay down. And you know what? I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd. And I know that most of you are serving God and you love the Lord. But I want to tell you two things about this message before I go any further. Number one, all of us need it at one time or another because, believe me, all of us have the opportunity to get down. And number two, you know somebody that needs this message. I know that. And so whether you go talk to them yourself or you give them the CD or however, but I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are down and out. I mean, they're down for the last count. They need somebody in their corner saying, get up, get up. In Revelation, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And he is always there to accuse. We got to be there for one another to encourage, to lift each other up, you know, to say the right things to one another. You're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. You're an overcomer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you know, when people are going through a hard time, they may not feel that. That's all the more reason they need to hear it. Sometimes we fail to live a life that glorifies God. Maybe we fail to be patient or kind or show mercy to somebody. I tell you, a lot of people fail by losing their temper. You know, they lose their temper with their family, or maybe they lose their temper on the highway, or they lose their temper in the workplace, and then you know what the enemy says? Well, you can't talk to anybody about the Lord now, because they'll know that you're just a hypocrite. You see how the enemy will try to sideline you? He will try to gloat over you. And I'm just telling you, you got to learn, listen, when I fall, I'm not staying down. I'm getting right back up no matter what. Sometimes people fail in their devotional life. You know, they just allow other things to crowd out their time with God and they neglect prayer time. Sometimes they fail, let me put it a different way, they fall in regard to their intimacy and closeness with the Lord. Listen, to the church at Ephesus, the Lord said, Revelations 2:4-5, he says, I have this against you that you've left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Are you in love with the Lord? You know, here's the hard question, though. Do you remember a time when maybe you were more on fire? Yes. Remember from where you have fallen. But you know what? He gives us a quick answer, though. He says, go back and do the first works. Don't stay there. Get up. Lots of ways that we can fall. Here's a way that almost all of us fall at one time or another is the words of our mouth. We lose our good confession. We say the wrong things. We speak doubt or unbelief, maybe gossip or criticism of somebody else. The Bible says in James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. See, almost all of us We struggle with this. We say things that we wish we didn't say. We speak before we think. What are you going to do? Get up. Say, I'm not saying that again. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to stay there. Been speaking words of doubt and unbelief. Listen, there's a cure for that. Stop it. Just get up. Make up your mind. You're not going to stay down and get up. You know, our enemy, he will try to trip you up. He'll even give you a push. He'll incite you to say something you shouldn't. You start talking. You start feeling your blood pressure rising, and you keep talking, and before long you're saying things you shouldn't be saying. And the whole time the enemy, he's trying to egg you on. Oh, I'm just telling you, when it happens, don't let him keep you down. He'll call you a hypocrite. Sometimes he'll get a family member or somebody else to do it. Y'all real quiet right now. I know what I'm talking about. Especially if you're really trying to live for God and you got some family or some coworkers that aren't trying to live for God. I'm telling you, they'll look for an opportunity to call you a hypocrite. And you know what? The enemy will try to pin you down with those words. You hypocrite. Get up. Get up. He'll challenge your faith. He'll question your salvation. He'll pile condemnation on you. He'll tell you that you've gone too far. It's too late for you. He'll tell you that you're a failure. And he'll say, you call yourself a Christian. I'm telling you, get up. Don't let him gloat over you. I know I'm talking to some of you. You see, he knows that if he can get you down and keep you down, he can keep you from fulfilling God's call and his mission for your life. There are people, there are lives that God will use you to touch and change for eternity, but it won't happen if the enemy manages to get you down and keep you there. That's why it's so important. It's not just for you. It's for everybody around you. It's for people that you come in contact with. Listen, it's for people that, not just the ones you touch, but the ones that you touch, the people that they're going to touch. I'm telling you, the enemy knows how powerful a life is that's really lived for God. And when you get down and you stay down, you stop doing what God really wants you to do. It's at least weakened. And I'm telling you, you just gotta get back up. David fell hard. He committed terrible sins. But God restored him and used him still as a great leader for God's people. And the Bible tells us this about David in the book of Acts, that he fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. And I'll tell you, we all make mistakes. But if we get up, we can fulfill God's purpose in our generation. You know, Satan will use anything he can to get you down. Sometimes it's not the things that we did, but it's things that happened to us. Things that happened to you, they can really get you down. It could be sickness. It can be financial trouble, losing a job and all kinds of bills. It could be problems in your family. You know, you can't always control other people's will, can you? I'm just telling you, there's all kinds of things that can happen to us. It's not necessarily that we messed up, but there's all kinds of things that can happen to you. There's a lot of ugly people in this world that will do you wrong and hurt you. And I'm telling you, the enemy will try to just get you down underneath all of that. But you got to decide you're not going to stay there. Remember, you got an enemy, and he wants to take you out. And if he can't take you out, then he wants to keep you down so that you're ineffective. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, and we would be let out of class for lunchtime, and I was kind of a weird kid, I guess. I liked to eat, and I would run to the cafeteria to get some of that good food. And here's a pointless fact that you don't need to know about me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I ate two lunches every day all the way through high school. Two trays, two full trays, and ate everything on my tray except for about two things they served. But anyway, I'm just telling you, I ran to the lunch line. Of course, part of that's because I didn't like to wait in line. But anyway, and so as a freshman, one of the times I'm running to the lunch line, I mean, I'm hauling. And some senior, he wasn't really a bad guy. I think he was just trying to be cute for the girls or something. And he stuck his foot out and caught my foot just right, and I wiped out. And I turned and glanced back at him. But you know what? I didn't have time to have a pity party or to get people to feel sorry for me. I didn't have time even to accuse him. I glanced back at him as I was getting up and hauling for the lunch line. I had a goal, and I might have been knocked down, but I was not going to be delayed in reaching my goal. And I'm just telling you that I know it's a little glib, and I've said that three times because I know it's hard when you're down. But listen, when you get knocked down, do not give the enemy a victory by staying there. Now, we're living in this culture right now. And see, we all like to point the finger and talk about, you know, the way everybody else is. I'm just going to be real with you right now. Everybody's offended about everything. I mean, anything and everything. Everybody's got their feelings hurt. Please, please don't misunderstand me. I know that we do get hurt. In the body of Christ, I hear it all the time. But understand this, if the enemy has his way, when you get your feelings hurt, and I know it's not a small thing when it happens to you. Sometimes it feels devastating, you know, especially when you're real involved in the body of Christ and people that you love hurt you. It can just be devastating to you. But hear me now. This has been one of Satan's most effective tools against the church in this generation, because we have so many people who are either not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they don't even go to church anymore. They sit home and say, well, I don't need to go down there and be with those people. I'll just worship God watching the TV, watching Brother So-and-so on TV. And they're out. They are not fulfilling all that God has for them. Listen, I'm not questioning their salvation. I'm not questioning their love for God. I'm just saying that the enemy has got them down and he's keeping them from really fulfilling all that God has for them. Don't let it happen to you. Somebody hurt you, it hurt bad. I get that. Been there many, many, many times. Get up. Just get up. I'm saying it for your good. Just make up your mind. You're not going to let the enemy get you down and keep you there. You're going to get right back up. Don't let him rejoice over you. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, that phrase comes straight from the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 30. It tells us that David and his men were coming home from the battle, and they came home to their city. It had been burned, and their wives and their children had been taken. Now, this is when it gets lonely at the top. Because when things go bad, guess who gets the blame? The leader. And so here, David, their great leader, all of a sudden, because of all of the grief that these men are feeling, they're talking about stoning David. So for David, it's really bad. He lost his wives and his children as well. Plus now they're talking about stoning him. And if David would have stayed down, he probably would have been dead. But the Bible says this. It's 1 Samuel 30:6. At the end of the verse, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." The New King James says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Here he is at the bottom of the barrel. His wives and kids have been taken captive. Now everybody's blaming him and they're about to stone him. But he encouraged himself in the Lord and he got up. And see, it's not just what happened to David. It's what happened to the people around him. Because he didn't stay down, because he got up, he was able to lead those men into battle, and they went and they rescued everyone. But it all started because he encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes, you know what? It's great when you got a brother or sister to encourage you in the Lord. And the Bible says we're to do that daily. And one of the problems with that is we don't get together enough. And I don't just mean here at the building. I'm talking about even outside in our daily relationships. We need to be together. We need people around us that'll encourage us. But there will be those times, and I'm going to tell you the truth, especially if you are a leader, there will be those times when there's nobody there to encourage you, and you're going to have to do like David and encourage yourself in the Lord. Just make up your mind. You're going to get up. No matter how bad it looks, you're going to keep going. You're going to try again. May feel hopeless, but it's not. No, put your trust in God. If your hope's in God, you're never without hope. See, the enemy wants you to think that you can't win. You know, most of us, we're well aware when we're down, but I'll give you a couple of signs just so you know. See, when you feel hopeless, that's a good sign. When you want to have a pity party and feel sorry for yourself, even if somebody pushed you, even if somebody hurt you, I'm telling you, if you're feeling sorry for yourself, it's a good sign that you need to get up. When you're no longer fighting the good fight of faith, believing God for a miracle, you've given up, that's a good sign you need to get up. When you're no longer reaching higher, pressing on, running toward the goal, fulfilling what God has called you to do, it's a good sign that you need to get up. When you're no longer giving God thanks and praising Him, when you no longer can rejoice and worship, I'm telling you, it's a good sign that you need to get up. So what do we do when we fall? Well, you just get up. Down is not your destiny. I want to go to Hebrews 12:1-3. Has some great insight for us and how to overcome when life gets tough. Maybe you've gotten down. Starts off, "Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." And I believe it's talking about those heroes of faith that are listed out in Hebrews chapter 11. So great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, they are yelling, "Get up! Get up!" I believe they're cheering for us. I don't think all of those witnesses are just watching. I believe they're cheering for us. And when you're down, they're saying, "Get up, get up, get up." He says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." And I want to say this about falling and failing. If there's something that's bringing you down, holding you down, get rid of it. Now just to clarify, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm just saying. It's funny, but it needs to be said, because I know some people, they were like, yeah. Now, Jesus said, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. He's not talking about, he doesn't want us showing up with missing limbs and eyes. What he's talking about is that you got to be willing to do what it takes. See, if you keep falling into the sin of pornography, get rid of the internet, get you some software that somebody else controls, do what you got to do so that the enemy can't keep you down. I'm preaching real good right now. See, you got some friends that keep dragging you down. You can't really get victory over that alcohol because you got some coworkers that keep inviting. Listen, you need to make some new friends. You need to get around some different people. And so when I'm saying get up, I'm just telling you, you need to do your best to do what the Bible says and get rid of the things that are besetting you, the things that keep causing you to fail and to fall. You're around people that are always talking negative and always talking doubt and unbelief. Listen, as long as you're in this world, you're going to be around some of that. You can't get away from all of it. But to the best of your ability, you need to get around some faith-talking people that will encourage you and build you up. It'll help you. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know what that means? That means you can't give up. Run with endurance. You can't ever quit. You just have to keep getting up. Looking unto Jesus. Don't get your eyes on other people. Don't get your eyes on the circumstances. It will discourage you. It will get you down. We don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. That's what the Bible says. And you know, that's really strange talk, to look at the things which are not seen. But we have to see with eyes of faith. You can't focus on the circumstances. But he says, looking unto Jesus, get your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You see, when we look at Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, we see all the struggle, all the hardship, all the heartache that he went through, and yet he overcame. And we need to always keep our eyes on him, because I want to tell you something. You keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll always get back up. You know, Peter, when he walked on the water and he began to sink, it was because he saw the wind and the waves boisterous. I think if he had just kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been all right. But he's still the only one that we know of besides Jesus that walked on water, right? So I don't want to be too critical of him, but I'm just saying we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep getting up. Look to the Lord for strength. I'm glad that we don't have to make it on our own. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just remember, when you know, sometimes in life you feel like you're stuck in a rut, can't get out. I'm so glad that we have somebody to help us. And even like Peter, when he did sink, and he said, Lord, save me, Jesus lifted him up and out. And I'm just telling you, you're not alone. And you're saying, I can't get up. Yes, you can. The Lord will help you. He'll help you get up. And when you hear the voice of the accuser, you hear those words that condemn and confine, make you feel like there's no way you'll ever overcome. And you need to remind him, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's what the scripture tells us, 1 John 4:8. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, all this time, my main focus has been saying, get up, you know, for you personally, get up. But I want to add this, though. Let's help other people get up. Yeah. Now, as a pastor, I got to tell you that a lot of the time, I don't know what to do to help some people. Some people, you try to help them, and it's that old thing, you can't help somebody that don't want to be helped. But I know that all of you know what I'm talking about. All of you have some people in your life you wish you could help if they would just let you help them. But you know what? There are people that we can help. Help get back up. Some of them are living under condemnation. You know, our former pastor, who pastored this church for 50 years, one of his greatest gifts was to encourage other people, was to show grace to people. And when I experienced it myself, I mean, when you mess up and you feel all down and feel like a loser, Brother Nichols would come along and, man, he would just have a way to encourage you and build you up and say nothing but positive to you. And how we need that in the body of Christ, to encourage each other. Most people have enough guilt. And yet it seems like so much of the time in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters can be dispensers of guilt. Now, we're to be dispensers of God's grace and God's mercy. Listen, not giving people a license to sin, but encouraging people, helping them get back up and back on track. That's what God wants for them. And we need to step into that and do the best we can to help somebody else, treat other people the way you would want to be treated if you were them. I think Jesus had that idea, didn't he? Now, the upside of being down is that you can learn some things. But when that happens, I just got to say, you got to learn the right things, because a lot of people, when they're down, they learn the wrong things. People always say experience is the best teacher, and that's not true. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Experience is actually a very poor teacher without the Holy Spirit, I'm just telling you, because what a lot of people learn from experience is they learn to be bitter, they learn to not try, they learn to just give up. But what we should learn from falling and when we're down is we should learn, hey, I'm not doing that again. We learn that we're ever dependent upon the Lord. And hopefully we do learn not to make that same mistake again. God's grace is bigger than our mistakes. It is sufficient. And I want to tell you, he's already provided for our forgiveness. Already done. We just need to ask him for that forgiveness. It's already available to us. I know in this day and time, there's some people who say, oh no, we don't have to ask. Well, I'm just going to pray the way Jesus said to. And he said to pray like this: forgive my debts as I forgive others. And so I'm going to pray the way Jesus said to. A lot of weird stuff going on in this day and time doctrinally. People think that we don't even have to follow the teachings of Jesus. I'm telling you, we need to pray for forgiveness. But he is ready to forgive. And when you mess up and you know it, just ask God to forgive you and get back up. You don't have to stay down. And I want to tell you, our enemy is defeated. So don't let him gloat over you. I love this in Luke chapter 10. A lot of times we quote verse 19, but I want to quote part of 18 before we get to 19. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You think you fell? He fell a really long ways. I saw Satan fall like lightning. And then he said, behold, I give you authority, power, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't let him gloat over you. Don't let him keep you down. What a role reversal. Don't let the enemy put his foot on your neck. You say, but I'm upset, I'm sad, and I'm depressed, and I'm a sorry dog, and he's got his foot on your neck. That is role reversal. Listen, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen. So make up your mind. I'm not staying down. And if I mess up, if something happens to me, I'm not going to stay down. I'm getting right back up every time. Get up. If you're not up, it's time. It's time to get up. There's no better time. Just go ahead and just decide I'm getting up. Even if I made you mad tonight, just decide I'm getting up. Well, stand up with me, would you? And we're going to pray. And tonight, I feel like it would be appropriate if we had some prayer partners come. And as we close our service tonight, if you're needing prayer and you say, I want to get up and I just need somebody to pray with me, whatever it might be, maybe there's a struggle in some area of your life, maybe there's been a hurt, maybe there's been discouragement, whatever it is, there's an area you need to get up. You just let somebody pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that not one person would leave out of this building tonight discouraged and down, but every person would leave here strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Every person would leave here encouraged and strengthened, Lord, ready to go out and do battle with the enemy and to fulfill the call and purpose of God in their life. That's my prayer, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. If you want prayer, you come on down.